Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today, the Kramer family, particularly Wayne and Barbara Kramer, are honoring the seminary by bestowing upon this institution something called the Founders Room. It is a fitting tribute, especially this week, because if we were going to be following the true lunar calendar that the Jews used to, it was this past Sunday that they would have celebrated the dedication of the Solomonic Temple on the eighth day, which many of you have heard about that today of the book of Hebrews, the day that signals what it is that we are going to experience when we arrive in heaven. The glory of that Solomonic temple on that eighth day was for us a foretaste, a vision, a window into what it is that we are all going to see when we arrive upon that last day of heaven. The accounts, however, of the story and the life of Solomon, between the book of Kings, the books of Kings, and the books of the Chronicles, is of course radically different. For some, it might mean that perhaps there's something wrong with the inspiration of the scriptures, that there would be such a different account of the kings. In the kings, we see somebody who is fallible. We see kings who are weak. We see individuals who make serious mistakes. We find struggling sinners. In the Chronicles, what we see is a glorified account of how it is that people, of course, in the kingdom of God are to be perceived in a sense, from the eyes of God. It is now, of course, much different today. The Kings, of course, is the account of Christian news and the Chronicles of a Lutheran Witness. As I say, the problem is not in the text a problem with the inerrancy, but rather it rests upon that dichotomy that we all know so well, of the realities of our own sinful natures compared to what it is that God sees us and wants us to be. God, of course, is the wonderful King who bestows upon us his unspeakable and great treasures. Today I want to encourage you as individuals to heed these words, an exhortation that comes along with this text. Be kings to God's people, and God will be chronicles to you. What does it mean to be a king to God's people? The definition, of course, is in what Solomon asked God to be to him. That is to say, he asked God that he might be a king to God's people. What does that mean? In the same way that God invested him with his kingdom. That is, as he asked God to declare and to reckon the entire kingdom of Israel to be his, and in a sense, in that formal verdict, so also he asked that God would give him the wisdom to be able to teach the people of how God had invested them the honor and privilege of being his people. He asked God to make him wise. But in that request for wisdom, he was also asking for the ability to be able to teach his people and guide them, not just by some erudite wisdom that could be obtained by books, but by the wisdom that comes from knowing Christ and the wisdom of the gospel and the wisdom of understanding his own sinful nature in comparison to the theology of the cross and the gift of grace given to him. He asks God, in a strange kind of way, to give him the true riches of the kingdom of God. Not earthly riches, but the riches of being able to maybe even be merciful towards his enemies. The riches of being able to live in this world without being affected by riches. And so in response to that ask, that request, God gives him the ability to be able to live with riches and in a sense with God's glory reflected through him and through his life in this world. I don't have to probably tell you, but I'll do it anyway, that there are going to be many, many temptations for all of us today, especially for those of you seminarians as you go out. You don't and are not probably too tempted by riches today because you're at the very bottom of the feeding order of society. But there's no doubt that both you and also even those professors and teachers and presidents that are here today are constantly under the influence of money. Money, quite simply, drives the entire psyche of the church. Nobody wants to really talk about it. The real issue, though, behind the money is really those three things that it takes to become a real king. A real king teaches and believes in the imputed righteousness of Christ. And today our church is being driven by a sanctification theology that wants to be able to make people come to the church on the basis of the church's ability to perfect them, not with Christ's righteousness, but with a righteousness of their own. Today the temptation is to seek the approval of the world around us, to be in some way approved of, or in some way seen as that wonderful church that can give to people a wonderful peace and reputation. And so we are being tempted continuously to try to compromise our theology and to make peace with the world. We are going to be tempted, and you will be extremely tempted, not so much to drool after Rome, as some would say. And it is true that there will be those who will drool after the glory of Rome. But there you're going to be especially tempted to drool after Fuller. For the drooling after Fuller is a prevailing theology today that tries to buy clergy in the church with small little trips to Hawaii with one's wife, all for the sake of pursuing that mirage of success and, of course, the finances that go along with it. You, however, are being honored today. You are being honored and you are being chronicled by the Kramers today, not because you are super sanctified individuals. You are not that at all. You are being honored and chronicled today by the Kramers because when they came here, they heard something that they couldn't hear anywhere else in the whole world, that their righteousness was reckoned and imputed to them in the same way as the Solomonic kingdom was imputed and reckoned to Solomon, that their worth, their treasures, the gifts, and their homage as Christians came to them from a God where they did not deserve it or earn it, but it was bestowed upon them out of God's free grace and mercy. They heard that from you, and that's why it is that they are chronicling this seminary today. They chronicle the seminary not because you are a renowned seminary with famous theologians. You are not that, thank goodness. They came and decided to chronicle you because they heard the wonderful news of the gospel. They heard people who were not famous proclaiming the eternal, wonderful news of what it is that Christ has done for them out of his grace. They are not chronicling you today because of the fact that you are the crown jewel of the world, because somehow this is a place where all the treasures of life are to be found, because they're going to be getting something from you. It is not that at all. They are doing all of this. They are giving to you the founder's room out of homage and respect for what it is that you not only have inherited and the heritage that has been bequeathed to you, but because you have and will, and someday to your own parishioners, will give to them riches that are far greater than anything that this world has to offer. So, remember, don't take the easy route and try to go straight to the chronicles. You're going to have to become kings first, weak, fallible, people who make horrible mistakes. But always, of course, when you become a king, you discover the grace of God that is being given to you in Christ. And when you do, your people will chronicle you. Remember, be kings to your people. And whether or not you are chronicled in this creation, I guarantee you upon that last day, the day we call today, that God is going to chronicle you. Amen.